Hearty welcome to each one of you that has come out tonight to look into the Word of God and hopefully gain wisdom and understanding. Special welcome to the special guests that have been out here tonight as well, and those in the vehicles. May they feel blessed as we worship together. Thank you for the prelude, Austin and Colton. If I had a violin, I would have joined you. No violin, no gift for me. Well done. May the Lord bless you. Proverbs chapter 4 is the portion that I want to speak on tonight. Proverbs chapter 4 says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of my life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of the feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." May God bless the reading of his word. A father is teaching his sons what his father taught him. That's three generations of discipleship. And now instructing wisdom to live a godly life from what was taught by their fathers to the father to his children. So what we have here is we have a father, he's writing to his son, but in verse 1 he says that he's writing to his children. And at the very least, this father is expecting his teaching to multiply. He's expecting his teaching to go to all his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. And he expects his teaching to form or mold his sons and daughters, that they too would become spiritual fathers and mothers to their children. So for you that are parents here tonight, what are we teaching our children? Or how are we trying to mold them? Or what instructions are we giving to them? You know, when you look around, not only in the world, but in our society, Where our culture, we see drugs and alcohol, how it ruin lives. People living and dwelling in sin. Many breakups of marriages. We see adultery, sexual immorality. We see homosexuality. And these are things that our children need to be taught that we and me and us, we need to refrain from. Teaching them that sin is wrong. And then giving them instructions of living a life of righteousness. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, 16 to 26, he teaches us that if the works of the flesh are practiced, then they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he also teaches us how to walk in the Spirit and keep our focus on God. These are the instructions that we need to give to our children. Instruction in wisdom and what God's Word says. You and I were created for wisdom, but we still require instruction to learn. In Deuteronomy 6, it tells us when we are to teach these things to our children. It says all the time, when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you get up in the morning. The teaching never stops. So I want to encourage you as parents to never stop teaching. Even though you may think that it's not sinking in or that it's not getting through to them, or maybe you're thinking they're too old. Solomon, he goes on and says, give attention to no understanding. Teach them what it means to pay attention and understand, and what the results will be or the outcome will be. He says, gain understanding. It means to know discernment and interpretation of things in life. Sometimes it's difficult for children to understand these things because they've not experienced them or gone through them because of life lessons. Gain understanding also means of spiritual matters. Children who are blessed, who have godly fathers and mothers, grandparents, we need to thank the Lord for their rich heritage. Instead of scoffing at the heritage and abandoning it for the world. Have we, or are we as parents, teaching our children the importance of attending church faithfully by doing devotions and spending time in prayer? And do they understand how important it is? And not just answers like, this is the way that it was done back when I grew up. No, we need to explain why. How can you gain understanding from the Word of God and then live a life according to His ways? You know, we can look around and parents who don't make it a priority, what kind of legacy are they leaving behind for their children? And if we as parents don't take the time to teach them to do devotions, to attend church, to spend time in prayer, they will probably do the same thing and maybe attend church even less when they have their family. And their children will do the same thing, and it won't take long, and they may not attend church at all. But Solomon, he goes on to say that I give you good sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Isn't this what we try to do as parents? To give good sound teaching? Teaching them sound doctrine and encouraging them to read their Bibles, to do devotions, and to take time in prayer. We encourage them not to forsake or leave from the teaching that we give them. And then we give them warnings if they do. Now, when you think about that, there's security in wisdom. Verses 4 to 9, this father is quoting what his father had told him. When we're deciding how to live out our faith, the first person that we're naturally going to copy, or maybe the one who's had the biggest impact in our lives, are our parents. And as parents, that should strike the fear of the Lord in our hearts. And if not, we're not reading the Word of God to them and praying with them and for them, who will? If you're a parent here tonight, God has called you to teach your children wisdom. Teach them God's Word and God's ways. You know, there's a passionate, heartfelt plea from the father to his sons. And the message his father told him was very simple. Seek to understand the Scriptures and live your life that same way. Wisdom will keep you out of trouble. Wisdom will lead you on the right path and will reward you. But as he's passing this message along to his sons, the father also tells his sons to treat wisdom the way that you would treat your mother, your sister, or your wife. To love her, to honor her, to embrace her, and to exalt her. Wisdom, it says that it is the principal thing. Or you could say that it is a key thing, or the main thing. Or the primary thing, or the important thing. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Solomon's father pled with him as he is now pleading with his sons. He says, acquire wisdom. In Hebrew, it means to buy or possess or to own. He's basically saying, go after wisdom and do whatever it takes. Do whatever you can to get it. And again, we see the importance of getting wisdom, and then he goes on to say, and with that he says, get understanding. He says, understanding will give you discernment. It's going to give you comprehension, and it's going to give you interpretation. And even if you got all the wisdom you could get and did nothing with it, what does it benefit you? You need the understanding of it and then teach it to others so that they too will benefit. Verses 10 to 17, he calls his son to listen and to hold on to instruction. This isn't just any instruction, but instruction based on the Word of God. So if you're going to want to walk in the way of wisdom, you and I, we need to read the Word of God. Our children need to read the Word of God. When we receive God's truth into our hearts, God renews our mind, enables you and I to think wisely. And what this does, it helps us to make right decisions and experience the guidance of God every day. God, in his loving providence, directs and prepares the path for each one of us. And the Father, he encourages his son to walk in the way of wisdom. And at all costs, he said, avoid the path of wickedness. When you walk in wisdom, your steps, they won't be hindered or obstructed. And your path is going to be clear and it's going to be open. And when you run, he says you won't stumble. Psalm 119:105 says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The psalmist makes it very, very clear. And yet sometimes we allow our own human thinking and our decisions to take over and have this selfish thinking that we can do it. And we get into a rut. We have this selfish thinking of, I know what I'm doing. I can do this on my own. And I don't need your help or advice. Maybe you've said it. Maybe your children have said it. Most of the time we find ourselves that we've made a mistake. And then our prideful self so embarrassed to admit that we made a wrong choice or we didn't allow God to lead us along. Solomon goes on to say, and he says, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. He says, avoid it. Do not travel on it. And do not walk along that path. You know, I'm sure we've all been told or warned by parents or people who have experienced not to do this or that, and yet many still choose to do exactly that. God's children cannot expect God's leading if they go back and forth between the path of wisdom and the path of the wicked. He says, stay as far away as you can from that path. He says, don't enter it. Avoid it. And don't go near it. When you're living in the will of God, that path gets brighter and brighter, not darker and darker. He says, don't let the lessons of wisdom slip through your fingers. Hold on to wisdom the way that a child holds a parent's hand. And how they trust mom and dad to guide and protect them. Your God is able to keep us from stumbling if we ourselves follow His wisdom. Matthew 26:41 says that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, the warnings in Scripture, they're endless. They're always reminding us and they're warning us. That is why it is so important to get wisdom and understanding. And the reward is that if our children choose to walk in it, they will be protected from wickedness. But not only that, those who choose the way of wisdom, they will walk in the light and in the path of righteousness. Verses 18 and 19, the word stumble is used to describe the way of the foolish. When you and I think of the word stumble, I think there's only one thing that comes from that word, and it's pain. To stumble means we fall, which results in getting hurt. And that's the same way with foolishness. When we do not hold on to wisdom, the way of wickedness is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. We as parents, we are to give as much wisdom to our children as possible so that they won't take the path of wickedness. We are to warn them, to instruct them, to teach them, and then to tell them the results of what happens when that path is chosen. Verses 20 to 27, then he goes on to say to his son, he says, "My son, give attention to my words and incline your ears to my sayings." It's what we do with our ears and our hearts, our eyes and our mouth, our lips and our feet that helps us to grow more wise or more foolish. It's not just about keeping the bad out, but also bringing the good in. Verse 20 talks about the ears. He says, "I want to protect my ears and my children from gossip." You know, there are times that we catch ourselves and we talk negatively or we gossip about others. But Jesus said that we are to encourage and to uplift others. We are to say something positive about them. Then you're not only protecting your ears, but filling them up with encouragement. So to you as parents, as you're in your home and your children are around you, what are the things that you say to your children? Are they positive? Are they edifying? Are they words of wisdom for them to hear? So what do they hear in our households? Is it a good conversation? Is it edifying music? You know, we as parents, we need to be responsible. Whatever enters our ears will ultimately influence our minds, our hearts, and our decisions. You know, Paul, he warns us to be aware of rudeness or foolish talk or coarse joking, according to Ephesians 5. And then in Psalm 1, verse 1, he tells us to avoid ungodly counsel or guidance or advice. So when we as parents, we visit or we talk with our children or even those that are around us, they should be able to identify a God-honoring conversation. Because we are to encourage our children to pay attention to what we say and to listen closely to what we say so that it should reflect godliness. And many times I fail. Is my conversation encouraging to my boys? Verse 23 focuses on the heart. The heart is the center of my identity. I want to guard the core of who I am by filling myself up with wisdom. So who am I putting into my heart? Is it Jesus Christ or is it the world? Whatever the heart loves, the ears will hear and the eyes will see. But he says, above all else, He says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The Bible warns us to avoid a double heart, a hard heart, a proud heart, and an unbelieving heart. A cold heart and an unclean heart. Psalm 51 verse 10 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might. Are we teaching our children to guard their hearts by filling it with the Word of God? Things of godliness, with pure and righteous thoughts. These are the things of wisdom that the Father was encouraging His Son to hold on to and not let go. And the only reason that we can begin to do this is because Jesus laid down His ears and His eyes, His body and His mouth, His feet and His heart for us. He offered Himself up as an exchange, His body for ours, His righteousness for our wickedness, His wisdom for our foolishness, and His death for our life. Verse 24 focuses on the mouth or the lips. He says, I want to prevent my own mouth from speaking gossip or lies, and want to fill my mouth and speak grace and truth and encouragement. Are we speaking encouraging words in our households? Do you tell your children that you really appreciate this and that from them? You know, whatever's in your heart will ultimately come out of your mouth. God's children must be careful to have sound speech that cannot be condemned. Speech that is gracious and seasoned with salt. And He warns us about a deceitful mouth and perverse lips. That means speaking in mean ways, speaking wicked or cruel thoughts, and speaking with hurtful thoughts, speaking lies and deceiving others. So how are we as parents speaking in our homes? Are we using words to edify, to encourage? Or are we using words that will discourage our children? Are we speaking truthful words, or are we deceiving them? You know, when you look at this verse, it is words of warning. Because we, being sinful people, we need to make every effort in speaking words of grace and truth. You know, Romans 7, it tells us how man is. It says, the things that I should do, I don't. And the things that I shouldn't do, I do. You know, it's amazing how we need to deal with sin, and that it hasn't left since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. I want to encourage you as parents to speak words of wisdom to your children. Words from the Word of God, as we need it more and more as we see the day approaching. Verse 25, I want to guard what entertainment or ungodliness I watch or give attention to. You So what are we attracted to? What are our children attracted to? And as parents, we need to give them wisdom in showing them where their focus should be and what the results may be if they're attracted to the things of the world. And that may mean skipping past maybe a certain Netflix show or not following all the pop-ups on your device, but choosing to spend time with them and visiting or playing games or whatever it may be. So when your children are watching you and me, what are they seeing? Are they seeing that our focus is on God? Are they seeing that our eyes are filled with creation and family? Are they seeing us spend time in the Word of God and in prayer? To you as parents, I want to encourage you, we need to be a Christ-like example and give as much wisdom as possible. This is the instruction from the Father to His Son. And He says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Do not let them out of your sight. He wanted him to see and pay close attention to what he says. When you think of the things that we focus on, outlook determines outcome. A good example of that is when you think of Abraham and Lot. You know, Abraham, he was a friend of God because he walked by faith and he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And then when you look at Lot, he became a friend of the world because he walked by sight and he moved toward that wicked city of Sodom. Everybody has some vision before them that helps them determine their values, their actions, and their plans. We would all be wise to imitate David, who said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. In Psalm 119, the writer prayed, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Verse 26 and 27, he talks about his feet. I do not want to walk myself into tempting situations, but use my feet to help a person in need or to share the good news with someone. All that foolishness can offer us is danger, detours, disappointments, and ultimately leading to death. And when you think of all those same things, it shouldn't be too difficult to make the right choice. But if we're walking in the way of wisdom, God, He promises us that He will protect our path and perfect our path. So what kind of walk are you leaving behind as an example to your children? May our gracious God give you much wisdom in teaching and raising your families. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this hour, we want to thank you for the wisdom that is in your word and how Solomon instructs us to get wisdom and get understanding. Father, we pray that as parents that we would look into your word to raise our children, that they too would walk in godliness. and in righteousness. And Father, we pray that we would continue to point and to direct them in that way. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us as parents to stay strong, even though it seems like it's not sinking in our children's minds. Father, may we feel that even during those times, Lord, that you are close beside us and that you're helping us. And Father, we pray that we would just completely lean and trust in you. Father, we pray for the parents here tonight that are maybe struggling. Lord, we just pray that you would come alongside, that you would help them to understand. And Lord, that they too would continue to gain wisdom from your word. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to encourage you to come back tomorrow night, our final night of Deeper Life. My prayer tonight is that we've gained a deeper understanding and wisdom from the Word of God. May it help you as parents, as you teach and train your children. For the benediction, I want to close out of Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen." Thanks again for coming, and you may depart in the peace of the Lord.